Ayaan Hirsi Ali. Mention the very name of the Somali-born critic of radical Islam and you divide opinion. The former Dutch politician survived female genital mutilation as a child and now lives under constant protection in the US. She's a best-selling author. But is she a truth-teller about Islamic doctrine or an ally of anti-Muslim bigots? Hirsi Ali has cancelled her visit to Australia this week because of threats to her security. About 400 Australian Muslim women signed an online petition opposing her visit. They said their views reflected, quote, the huge diversity of opinion among Australian Muslim women. The spokesperson for the group is Melbourne businesswoman Hannah Asafiri. So is she happy Ayaan Hirsi Ali has called off her visit?
Oh, look, quite the contrary. I think, if anything, there's a sense of disappointment. For me, I don't succumb to simplistic kind of good, bad, happy, sad, right, wrong. Rather, the myriad or the multitude of positions that are necessary for a genuine, intelligent debate.
Well, you say, though, that you're disappointed that she's not coming, but this is the first line of your statement. We would like to express our utter disappointment that Ayaan Hirsi Ali is being brought to Australia.
Without by this group, because often, I guess, without context, you can take that statement anyway. Yeah, our disappointment was that we almost always offer up those platforms uncontested and unchallenged. And our disappointment was in an environment that is increasingly hostile to Muslims and to women in particular, that discourse, when it's uncontested, when there isn't alongside it an opportunity to discuss and debate and dialogue properly, then sadly what the petition says is it increases hostility against the very women we're claiming and the women we work with daily.
Yeah.
Our starting premise is we are against all forms of violence against women. Misogyny and patriarchy are not the same as those who have faith and Islam.
Yeah, I don't deny that, but you wanted a private meeting with her, I understand.
We actually extended an invitation of engagement. However, she deemed herself available and appropriate.
Right.
We left it to her to say, so they asked us for bodyguards. We said, sure. We said, you can have a moderator. We can have it in Melbourne or Sydney around your availability.
Sure. But so she also said, though, that you were welcome to attend her public events and ask questions in full view of the public, that she gets hundreds of requests to speak to groups and individuals.
Sure.
And you were welcome to have an open dialogue with her in the forums that had been provided.
Yeah. And sadly, that is the problem, that the forums that are being provided, you become one of many, I guess, opinions and positions. And what we were saying to her is never before has there been an opportunity for engagement with Muslim women, that this is all of us in the myriad of our position who are the gatekeepers, in a sense, who are working on the ground with Muslim women in this environment to engage us.
Now, you say that Ayaan Hirsi Ali does not speak for us. That's the title of your position. I don't think I've ever heard Ayaan Hirsi Ali ever say that she speaks for Muslim women.
So where I'm coming from is her nuanced discourse implies that Muslim women cannot be empowered because we're docile, we're backward, we're slaves, we're at odds with Western freedoms and democracies. That is what's giving her conversation legitimacy. And we're saying, far from it. Nothing about us is docile. We're having to respond to and interrogate a very tricky, hostile context at the moment, made worse by your continued, I guess, stimulating the hostility that's levelled at Muslims.
Okay.
There is no clash between Islam and the West. My friend, never has been.
Well, I'm not sure about that historically, let me give you an example. You quote, I think, one line in your statement of something that she said in 2000. Here's what she said in 2015. I do not mean that Islamic belief makes all Muslims violent. This is manifestly not the case. There are many millions of peaceful Muslims in the world. What I do say is the call to violence and the justification for it are explicitly stated in the sacred texts of Islam. Why doesn't that sort of comment have a place in debate about Islam? I'm wondering.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what she says now. That's what she says in her most recent book.
Yes, and what she says, and if you continue it, she's calling on this thing called Dawa that she's saying people and kids are taught this at schools. And ultimately, when you start with this ideology, which in her view is at odds with Western freedoms and democracies, then this ideology will eventually lead to what she's calling Dawa, and Dawa will eventually lead to radicalisation. So essentially her message, I think it's important to recognise and understand the context that she's writing in. Her affiliations are very much with a divisive anti-Islamic sentiment who clearly is positioning any sort of understanding or internal progress of Islam and almost saying the impossibility of that position for women.
She's not saying that. She's moved in her latest book from a position of condemnation to Islam to a position where she distinguishes between religious Islam and political Islam. She's attacking political Islam.
Sure.
You don't seem to believe that she should even be attacking that.
That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I actually invited her to a conversation. I'm one of the first people to attack patriarchal and misogynistic expressions of Islam, yeah? Political Islam, all narratives which have departed from an understanding of Islam, I mean, we're the first to stand in line and actually bear the brunt of those and reject them. But what I am saying is any conversation that is in this hostile climate has to be grounded in an understanding of how we are talking about this issue. Now, for Muslim women, our empowerment, if we so chose to find empowerment in Islam, that is not at odds with Western democracies, which ultimately and simplistically speaking is her message.
Does she have a right to critique Islam as a doctrine?
Of course she does. Of course she does.
Right.
Everybody does.
It seems in your statement that you released, let's hear exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Ayaan Hirsi Ali's conversation does not contribute to any insights nor further the debate in any way. So nothing she's ever said should be heard or taken seriously. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is her contribution is not to further the debate in the empowerment of women. Absolutely not. Her conversation simply divides communities and creates hostility at levels at Muslim women.
So you find it problematic. Does that mean it should not be heard?
No. We've never said it should not be heard. What we're saying is when you hear this level of conversation in an environment of free speech, surely you need to enable a right of reply and you need to offer up those platforms for that to be possible, where genuine contestation of free speech can be had. Mm. Otherwise, we're conflating free speech with hate speech. Mm.
Well,
and they're not the same thing.
Yeah. Well, give me an example of what is acceptable criticism of Islamic doctrine.
You could say anything you want to say. Look, we all hold.
Well, you've not, because you've just characterised Ayaan Hirsi Ali's comments, and I read some of them from her most recent books. You've just characterised her comments as hate speech.
What I say to you is anything you want to say. Anybody's entitled to any view. To me, it takes nothing away from my faith, nor does it add to it. What I simply call into account is when we occupy public speaking platforms, particularly in the Western free, civilized, democratic world, that we need to enable a contestation and a right of reply, particularly when we're being hostile towards a certain group of people and conflating a whole host of increased hostility leveled at those groups.
She's being hostile to a doctrine.
Our association is not with the doctrine, the book. Nobody's going to get up and bash the book, but we end up bashing a Muslim woman in the street because we associate that sentiment with her. We are from the premise, we start from the premise, we don't condone any violence against women. We work tirelessly, in fact, to redress and advocate against it. What we're saying is her discourse, when it's uncontested, when it's uninterrogated, when we just readily absorb the simplistic populist nature of it, results in additional fear-mongering and violence levelled at the very women we're trying to advocate on behalf of.
Yeah. Have you read her latest book?
Of course I've read all her books. Mm.
So
female genital mutilation, let me tell you outright.
I've no doubt you are. I've no doubt you're a very strong opponent of that in Islam.
So I don't understand why her decline, I guess, to engage with Muslim women. That, to me, is curious.
She said it was hard for her, and this is in an interview with The Guardian, that it was hard for her to engage with you when you started with the position that she was a bigot. Now, that's what you've said about her. Okay. And she said, why would I engage with someone who's called me a bigot?
Well, she's called us slaves and docile and backward and
Well, I don't think she's referred that to you personally.
No. Look, I think let's not get carried away with, I think she clearly and squarely has placed Muslim women in that category. And what we're saying is, despite our frustration, let us do what we normally do and transcend the need to just react and actually invite her to engage. Now, my disappointment is at the loss of opportunity. Okay, she was coming. We didn't like it. We don't celebrate that she's not here. We don't celebrate that she is here. We certainly breathe a sigh of relief that the continued hate is not going to be intensified.
Okay. You know? Well, Hannah, I think we're going to still have to ponder the meaning of your first sentence for some time. Hannah Asafiri is a Melbourne businesswoman. She's a community leader, and she was the lead signatory in a statement expressing disappointment about Ayaan Hirsi Ali being brought to Australia by Think Inc. Thank you for being with us on the Religion and Ethics Report.